words I can afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Kyle Dotson.
And it is July 27th, it's a Sunday, and this is our first record in the rock room, old school.
Yes.
Microphones, mixing board.
An old computer.
An old computer that, fingers crossed. It's a two laptop record. We got the music coming from my laptop into the board. Kyle, you're drinking a Trader Joe's sparkling. What kind of flavor?
That's a tangerine vanilla.
Tangerine vanilla. I'm drinking a Cheerwine Zero Sugar because apparently my blood sugar is high. Yeah. Shouldn't be by now because I've been doing this.
Well, you've got zero sugar in you.
Well, I've been doing this bullshit for now four months.
Just drink a bunch of sugar and chase it with an insulin shot.
All right. That's what most people do, right? Mm-hmm. People that don't care.
Yeah, I think that's what you
do. They want a quick fix.
Yeah, insulin, that's a quick fix.
I am down to high school weight right now because I weigh myself every morning. I'm at 155 this morning. 155.
That's great. Are you gonna enter the wrestling tournament this year?
Yeah, I'm sucking weight. I got a chew in right now and I'm spitting in a plastic bottle. They would let the wrestlers do that in class. They could have Copenhagen or school in their lip and they could spit in a bottle.
Oh, that's cool.
To suck weight. That's what they would call it. Sucking weight. Is that what you called it?
We called it sucking off. I think that was something different.
I think that was way different.
I was allowed to cut a hole in my desk.
they would not let us do that in class, though.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm turning to check the board. Okay.
We had like three teachers in my high school that married students and one that, you know.
Well, we okay.
We can cut all this out.
No, we're not cutting any.
Not a lot to do in central Pennsylvania, apparently.
No, one thing that does not change, we're not fucking editing. I'm not editing. So Kyle and I have been working in the rock room, and we recorded another episode. The reason I time-stamped this one is because I don't think this one's going to drop until way after the previous one we did in the kitchen, talking into the same microphone. This sounds great again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is the way.
Yeah, are we going to just re-record the kitchen one?
No, that one's done. We're done with that. So Kyle and I have been hanging albums in the rock room. Like right behind Kyle, there's a wall of, what do we got there? 18 albums. There's Montrose, Pretenders, Foreigner, Speedwagon, Chrissy Hynde solo, Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Patti Smyth, Scandal, Nick Lowe, Rockpile, Jay Giles, Peter Wolf solo, just tons of stuff.
And we tried to group the ones that there are groupings of.
Yes, we did grouping, so it wasn't willy-nilly. Like when one wall over there, I see I have Tommy Shaw, Styx, and Dennis DeYoung all together. I have the three Knack ones all together. But we did them like...
We got Meatloaf, Nugent, and Journey together.
Yeah, we got Meatloaf, Nugent, and Jonathan Cain's signature all together. We call that the MAGA. Conspiracy theory MAGA wall.
Well, that's conservative corner.
Conservative corner. Yes, perfect. We have a metal wall. We've got UFO, Judas Priest, Alice, Rat, White Snakes up there, Black Sabbath, and then we threw the Foo Fighters in there because they rock, and we didn't know where else to put them. So all the albums are not up yet. I think we said there's 98 on the wall.
Yeah, couldn't get to 100, but that's okay.
No, and there's 18 more to be framed, and those frames are coming from Amazon this week. Mm-hmm. And then there's is there like 30 there?
Yeah, 20 to 30 probably.
20 to 30 framed and on the floor just waiting for a spot. And I think they're going to all fit.
Yeah, I think we did it in a good way.
I think we did it in a way where it all fit. If not, put some on the back of that door and... use some, gorilla tape, whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you can tape a gorilla right to the back of the door.
Yeah.
You can't go anywhere. The sound in here is nice right now.
It is nice.
We did turn the air conditioning.
Now, when people listening to it are like, this sounds like shit.
This is awful. Those fuckers, they ruined it. All right. So today, what we're going to do is we lost a great person the week of this record.
Hulk Hogan.
Yes, and we're going to be going through his entire album, track by track, produced by Rick Derringer. No, we're not doing that. We would never do that. Is that album good? He never made another one, did he?
There's no way it's good. Is it produced by Rick Derringer?
It is.
That guy just needed a paycheck, right?
Wait, look, he did the Weird Al albums, and that Hulk Hogan album seems like it would go in the same rack as the Weird Al albums. It's not a serious music album. So we're doing a...
I'll get you in a squeeze box, brother. That was more Macho Man, but...
That was. Ooh, yeah. All right, we are going to go through some Ozzy Osbourne songs today.
Yes.
Pay tribute to Ozzy.
On the Sabbath.
Is it on the Sabbath? That's right. Sabbath. Well, that brings us right... We might as well play your song right now, then. You want to say what it is?
Let me remember what... Because I don't have it in front
of me. Just said the title.
It's Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. That's right. I can remember if this one was the first or the second.
From the 1973 album.
Yes.
Of the same name.
Correct.
Here we go.
Yeah, I wanted to start with that because I think when people think of Ozzy, they just think of like, oh, Prince of Darkness. But he's a unique singer, but he's good at singing. Like he has those like slow kind of, I think people think of No More Tears and maybe that it's later stuff. But yeah, early Sabbath has some of that too.
Yeah, I can tell you what my playlist for today as we get going totally leans into that Ozzy because I really love it.
Yeah.
I also picked a Black Sabbath song to start, and it's, I mean, you guys can probably pick what it is. I have to play it. It's Paranoid.
Have you ever heard the alternate lyrics version? It's like you woke up in an alternate universe and you don't know the lyrics, but you know the song.
But you know the music?
It's weird. It's bizarre.
I understand. This was like a bonus track on a CD or something. Are they totally different?
They're totally different. But it's weird because you're kind of like, are these? Like at first you're like, are these the lyrics? And you're like, these don't. And then you're like, oh, maybe I'm thinking of a later version. And then you're like, no, it starts this way. You know, it's real, but it was a real bizarre trip the first time I ever heard it.
Let's go out and play kickball. We're going to have a real fun date. Is that what it's about? I feel like it's about kickball.
Yeah, I don't think so.
When was the last time you played kickball?
Maybe like a pickup game in college, maybe.
I wonder if there's kickball leagues here in Winston-Salem.
Probably, but a lot of my friends in New York, they'll play like dodgeball, and they're like, hey, you want to play softball or kickball? I'm like, I don't like going outside.
Okay, I do not want to. I don't want to play dodgeball. Because there's always an asshole that plays dodgeball.
Yeah,
hit you in the balls, hit you in the face.
We had in school, we did those red rubber ones for a while, but then we also had these like, they're not a volleyball, but they're like a soft Voight.
Mm-hmm.
There's like Nerf in the middle, and it's almost like a snake skin type material the outside.
Alice Cooper would like that.
Yeah, and those you can throw hard, but it doesn't hurt when you get hit.
Okay.
But they're satisfying to throw, but it doesn't have the bounce. So.
I mean, dodgeball shouldn't be a game that you play to the death. Like you have a spiked ball, and if you get hit with that, you're done. You die.
Yeah.
That would be in a futuristic movie.
Mm-hmm. It's like Rollerball 2.
Instead, they would call it
time to die.
Spike ball.
You are sentenced to spike ball.
bring it on.
And all the people cheering, like, Spike Ball, Spike,
Spike Ball, Spike. And then Stallone would go, oh, Dennis Ball, he's getting the ball. What?
You'd have a guy with no hand that he could, like, put the spike ball on that and launch it.
And launch it off his, yeah.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, I watched this movie.
Yeah,
I watched this with Mike Schmidt. That's the kind of movie he likes to watch. And then he would tell me that, dude, that movie was awesome. All right. This next song goes right in. This could be the theme song for Spikeball. What's it called?
This is called Never Say Die.
It's funny. Are we playing all title tracks from the Sabbath albums? Yeah, we did.
Yeah. All but right. Also, I got to be honest. This is kind of blasphemous, but on those early Sabbath albums, there's a lot of nonsense and noodling.
They're just dirges to me.
Yeah.
Like that first Black Sabbath album with the scary woman on it, I can't listen to that. It's just like, boom. It's just like, you know, one bass chord and then like, boom.
Yeah. It's like it's of the time.
Yeah, it's just like that. I can't.
I hate to say this, but I like Dio Sabbath better than Ozzy Sabbath.
Yeah, Neon Knights and Mob Rules. I like those two albums better than any of the Ozzy Sabbath. But I like Ozzy better solo.
Yes, agreed. And I like, I like this song.
Rock in peace to all the Black Sabbath singers.
Yeah.
Probably up there
now. Except Glenn Hughes and who's that?
Glenn Hughes is still with us. He's got a new album coming out in September, so come on. Glenn Hughes and Tony Martin?
Yes.
And there might be another guy in there, too.
Ian something.
Ian Gillan.
Yes.
Yes, Ian Gillan from Deep Purple. He plays on the one with the scary baby.
Born Again.
Born Again.
Because Digital Bitch is a great song.
Digital Bitch is on there. Yeah, that's a good song. You would think that I can't even say it. Ian Gillan. That's not right.
Ian Gillan.
You'd think that Ian Gillan would have totally worked with that band. And just misses a little bit. All right. Never Say Die. Here we go. Theme from Spikeball. Oops, what happened? Oh, yeah, I like this song.
I think a theme for my list, and it just kind of happened to be that way, a lot of his songs are about death and dying and not like what, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Cryptic.
It's almost like a Bowie thing. Like when my wife was listening to Black Star the other day.
You're married?
Yes. 6 years, almost. And during Black Star, it's like,
he knows it's coming.
And it's like real, it's almost creepy to listen to.
Oh boy. Yeah, but that's hard.
That's how I kind of felt. I felt that same like sense listening to all these older Ozzy songs now, but.
Yeah, I get it. Oh, by the way, we didn't do a test record. This is the test record.
Yeah.
So there's chances that you might not be hearing this. We might record this whole thing, and then I check the file. I'm like, oh, that didn't work at all.
It looks like it's doing stuff.
It looks like it's like, again, we haven't done it like this since, I think, early December or late November with Murray at my house.
Yeah, and that one didn't do well at all.
No, that no one liked that one. And I don't know. I can't put my finger on why people didn't like it. There's a reason. What? I don't know what it was.
And you had to come all the way here to North Carolina to get, you know, you don't even want to be near water just in case his boat passes by or anything.
What is the other thing about that? So after Murray and I recorded that, he left. I pulled the file off the computer. Then I shut all the equipment down. I packed everything up. I packed all the equipment up.
In separate boxes, apparently.
Oh, yeah. The main wire that I needed. Because we were going to record the one we recorded yesterday, we were going to record like this. The main wire that I need that connects the mixing board to this ancient MacBook computer, I couldn't find it. So why wasn't it in the box with all the other podcast stuff? I don't know.
It was in another box marked podcast stuff.
Which I couldn't find. So anyway, we're up and running. But that's like the miracle cord. Like, I don't even know. Like Kyle was looking at it and he's like, I don't even know what this one end is called. Like,
one to is look fire wire and the other is...
square?
Yeah.
But you really don't know what it's called?
No, I mean, I could probably look it up, but...
Okay, if you ever have time, look it up, because I need to order another one of those, maybe. The thing about this space, the new space, is I used to... We would use the space at the old house as an office, too. So after I would record, I'd have to move the table and put the microphones away and, you know, get every... Put it... Oh, do you hear that? Is that my...
I don't hear anything, so...
All right.
Something's probably on your end.
Yeah. Check. Oh, yeah, my cable is fucked. Check. Oh, yeah, I'm only... Oh, there it is. I don't know what's... Something's wrong with my wire.
I think I found it.
Okay, you know what it's called?
Yeah, wait, let me see. It's an SF cable 9-pin to 6-pin IEEE 1394 Firewire 800/400 cable.
Okay, look that up and see if that's available on Amazon.
It is. It's $836 or $899. I'll send it to you.
Send me a link. I'm going to buy a new one. Okay, so anyway, at the old house, I would have to clean up all the podcast equipment we were done and put it away. This space, I don't have to do that. The mics are going to sit out all the time. Everything's out. We have a rack here, a metal rack. I think this looks good. What do you think of this over here?
No, it does look good. And it's not a big stretch for you to reach over there?
It's not. And I don't mind these wires across like this because you can get to this chair. You can get to all the chairs without... No one should be stepping over these wires ever.
No.
Agree?
Yeah.
Or are we going to agree to disagree?
Oh, I don't think you ever go in that corner.
No, you never go in that corner.
You come in from this side.
Come in this way and you come in this way.
This person comes this way.
Yeah.
You leave through that
you
door.
You can even... Yeah. Well, if you're doing bad, like if Murray's here and it's not going well, he goes right out that door. We could open that door and we could just push the chair over and he would fall out the door.
Yeah.
And then a new host comes up from the through the floor. All right. My next song, which is the fourth song, it's also the first Ozzy solo song. This is from Diary of a Madman. And this is Ozzy's up in heaven right now, so he's probably flying high again, right?
Yeah.
Flying high right up to heaven. Here it comes, I think. Oh no. That is a good one.
So good.
I really like that song a lot. That, of course, is with Randy Rhoads, Ozzy's first guitarist, his muse. I don't know if that's true. All right, what do you got for us?
I jumped to, 81 Ozzy album.
1980.
1980, yes. What did I say, 81?
You said 81. The Blizzard.
I typed it wrong then, apparently.
Blizzard of Oz. Two Z's.
Yeah.
And this song's called...
A bunch of people in my high school had like a t-shirt of this, and I just thought it was like the coolest thing.
Yeah. Because he's got a crucifix, doesn't he? He's crawling on the floor. It's a good album cover.
It is a really good album. And good logo.
Great kinda logo.
Right off the bat.
Yeah, right off the bat. Never stopped using it.
No, there's Osmosis doesn't use it.
You're right.
Which I was kind of like, why didn't you... Also, that's not a great album cover. It's a cool concept, but it's poor execution.
Yeah, maybe it would have been cooler with the logo.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, this one, I like this song. It's called I Don't Know.
It's Cod.
Boy,
look, I don't know how to talk on microphone anymore.
Just blame it on the
called,
setup.
It's called Osmosis.
Yeah.
So you would want to have those... OZZs there,
mm-hmm.
But they don't. It's not, isn't it? No, it is with two Z's. I don't know why they didn't. Well, okay, whatever. I'm making no sense. Now, rumor has it is Ozzy would always start the show with I Don't Know. And so when people would ask him, Ozzy, what's the first song you're going to sing tonight? He would go, I don't know. Here we go.
And now we're going to play some of these songs backwards, right?
Oh, yeah. So we can summon the devil. I have a Book of the Dead right here on the table. Do you have a favorite Ozzy album or do you want to wait till we get to it?
I got to be honest. I don't know if there's any album that like top to bottom I think is great. I do think there are still some dirges on some of these albums.
There'll be like a song that's like a 12 out of 10. And then,
I think I have a favorite. I do have it in the list, but I think I more have favorite songs than an album as a whole.
All right.
I kind of just listen to them in a shuffle, and the ones I don't like, I listen to, you know, twice before, and then we're like, yeah.
I get it. I remember seeing an interview with Ozzy, and he said he was never going to stop making albums because he hadn't recorded his Sgt. Pepper's yet.
Oh.
And yet, I think this album from 1991, No More Tears, is the best Ozzy album. I love the cover. I love the sepia tone. He's got the little wings on. I think the production is stellar. And I think I do love every track on No More Tears.
If you took the Ozzy name off of it, you wouldn't. He almost looks like Steven Tyler on the cover.
Yeah, he does.
Bit. Well, like it,
he was clean then, and he was getting in shape. Like he was treadmilling it. He was thin. It was a different Ozzy, and I think it shows in a lot of ways. And this No More Tears is my favorite Ozzy album. I love it so much. So this is, and there's a lot of these introspective songs and quieter moments, but then they rock. But this is Road to Nowhere. I love this line. And all the things I've done to me.
I'm still looking for the answers. I'm still searching for the key. The wreckage of my past keeps haunting me.
The wreckage of my past keeps haunting me. It's so good. God, Zach Wilde's guitar always sounds so good. So good. That guy's an animal. An animal. Now we made a, okay. You're going to play now a song from the Jakey Lee era. You're going to play a couple actually.
Yeah. I like the first one. This is another title track, but look, you got to hand it. He picked good album titles.
Yeah.
Good songs for the single. And most of the time, it led off the album. So,
yeah, and this is another good album cover.
Oh, it's great! Yeah,
Bark at the Moon. He's a wolf man.
Yeah, yeah. So this is just Bark at the Moon.
All right, here we go. I mean, that gets you going.
Yeah, I had to start at the beginning, and then the laugh coming up. Maybe it's later then.
Maybe we missed it.
Waking from the dead of night. Vengeance is boiling. His return to kill the light.
the moon.
There it is, yeah.
Now, I believe the Bark at the Moon album, all songs are credited to Ozzy by himself. And we all know that's not true. He didn't write the words and music for all these songs.
No.
There's just no way.
And, Jakey Lee has a very distinctive, I think it's very distinctive in the way he plays. Like, it's Randy Rhoads and Jakey Lee and Zach, you can tell this is from this era. This is, you know, the way that they're playing.
Yeah.
Because his is like, I'm not going to use any musical terms.
Is it crunchier?
It's like crunchier, but it's also like very tight. Like, you can almost hear the notes don't necessarily blend together because it's like you can hear almost every individual.
Is it riffier maybe?
Yeah, but it's riffier, but it doesn't feel like not dwelling into nonsense. It's just like, you know, it almost feels like the song is, or the guitar is backing vocals to what Ozzy's saying, you know, at times.
Yeah, I do know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like it though. All right. I have another song off No More Tears. Again, because it's my favorite one. So this one is, and it's another one of these, like Road to Nowhere. You know, this is Time After Time.
Oh, yeah, this is a good one.
Time after time, I guess that love is blind. I couldn't read your mind, line after line. Line after line, it was written in your eyes. I guess it's no surprise, time after time.
Now, when you heard Ozzy died, did you have the feeling that I had? I was just like, oh, Ozzy died.
Yeah. Also, a couple of years ago, they had said that Ozzy died, but he didn't. So at first I was kind of like, but did he? You know what I mean? Like,
And I mean, Ozzy has been on the verge for years. Like, he's always like.
I wasn't surprised, but I was surprised. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I wasn't surprised, but I was obviously sad, but Ozzy's, again, he's just been on the verge of maybe dying.
It's kind of like Keith Richards.
Yeah, except I feel like Keith is more clean than Ozzy, and he's more, dare I say, healthier than Ozzy? It's weird to say that. But,
But I also knew, I obviously knew he was older.
But Keith Richards is older than Ozzy.
Yeah, that's true.
Ozzy was, 76.
I think I was more surprised that I was like, oh, they just did that concert.
Yeah. And he held out for this concert.
And there was a part of me, I had two thoughts, and I don't know if either one of these are true.
Okay.
The first thought was, oh, he was way sicker than they let on.
Sure he was.
And, you know, we all know the reputation that Sharon Osbourne has, but that she kind of forced that to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that it wasn't a good thing to happen. My second thought was, oh, maybe because he knew he was done, that's like kind of what he lived for. And then that
lived,
just kind of
get to that concert
or was like, well, now what, you know, like music was my life and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
You know, he still had family, his grandfather.
Yeah, but I don't know. And maybe that's the drive that kept him focused on that. And then when that was done, then it just kind of.
Yeah, I saw a post today, I think it was by his daughter-in-law, and it was him and the grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And they're little. They were really nice photos. Like the kids, they don't know their grandfather's Ozzy.
Yeah.
They don't know he snorted ants and bit the head off a bat and pissed on the Alamo. They don't know that. They just know Pop's here. You know what I mean? So they're like on his lap and they're like kissing him and scaring him and, you know, ah, you know, they probably thought he was the, the funniest, coolest guy. Grandpa's hair's long. But that post today was pretty, that was nice. I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
So they're going to, obviously, they're going to be releasing that concert on CD and vinyl. Yeah. In,
well, I think you can, I didn't watch it yet. I need to have time to sit down and watch it, and especially now.
Yeah, I mean, it really didn't interest me that much, other than, you know, they were doing it as a tribute, but now I'll definitely watch it.
But I think I don't know what platform it's on, but I think you can buy it or rent it, and all the proceeds go to Parkinson's, at least for amount of time.
That's good.
Until
Sharon wants money.
Yeah, so I don't know if, I'm certain they'll release it on vinyl and Blu-ray, but I don't know if that will continue or a portion or whatever. But I know right now, as of this record,
I think they're going to show it in theaters, like in, I think it said January or February.
Oh, really? That far away? Well, I guess you got to edit.
And they're probably going to fix some audio. You know what I mean?
Why not do October?
I know, right? Do it on Halloween in Hollidaysburg. It'll be the Thursday before Halloween. They'd show it in Hollidaysburg. Yeah, in the theater, it's going to be great.
Your first great love story is free when you sign up for a free 30-day trial at audible.co.uk/Wondery. That's audible.co.uk/Wondery.
All right, what's your next song? You got another Jakey Lee song, which is great.
So this song, I think I've talked about this before, especially with like Iron Maiden, because my introduction to Iron Maiden and I obviously knew who Ozzy was, but my real introduction to his music. So when I worked at the movie theater, there was, you know, like the second year I was working there, they were like, oh, hey, Matt Stoyanov's coming back to work. And I'm like, who's this guy? Yeah. And he walked in, you know, in a movie when a guy walks in, you're like, oh, that's supposed to be the coolest person in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly like he walks in. He like just had like a probably like a Opeth T-shirt on or some, you know, carrying his vest on his shoulder, had really long black hair, like came in, was just ripped. And like immediately I was like, well, I want to be that guy's friend. He's the coolest man ever.
He's the coolest guy I've ever seen.
So we started talking about music, and he's like, I'm gonna make you a list of songs to go download from LimeWire or whatever it was at the time. So he took a long piece of receipt paper that he just printed out of the concession stand receipt, and just as the fastest I've ever seen, like wrote down 80 to 100 songs and the bands, and then just like handed it to me, and he's like it was homework, and this song was one of them that was on there. I've always loved this song. This is Shot in the Dark.
And by the way, friend of the show, Dweezil Zappa, is in this video.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
That's fun.
Here we go.
This is a cool album cover, too. It's from The Ultimate Sin. The album cover was by Boris Vallejo, who did like the Vacation movie posters.
Oh, really?
And then it says produced. The album was produced by Ron Nevison, which I didn't know.
Yeah,
until just now.
And when Ozzy went back and they remastered all his albums, they didn't remaster this one because there's the guy who wrote Shot in the Dark. Is Phil Soussan, I think his name is, or Soussan. And they've been embroiled in like legal battles with him for years. And so they don't include Shot in the Dark on some of the compilations, and because they don't want to, they're so petty sometimes with, and Ozzy's not. I think it's Sharon. He's so petty with things.
Just give them their dime.
Give them their money. I mean, the guy wrote a fucking great song. This is like a signature Ozzy song.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that people remember from this album. And it's weird, too. It's the last song on the album.
Yeah, which is strange. Which kind of goes against what I was saying earlier about them like front-loading them.
I know.
But I wonder if because they were like, oh, this was written by him, throw it at the end.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? It's just, we are trying to predict what would happen next with with Ozzy's music and share? Like, is Sharon just going to purge all the vaults? Could there possibly be another album coming out that Andrew Watt produced? Like, you know, that posthumously?
I think certainly we're going to get some music that was never released. Yeah. I also think in the immediate aftermath, they're going to kind of do what they did. They did a little for the concert, but they also did it for, they did like a Metallica version where they just had like that for the anniversary. Was it the Black Album or something? Where it was just like 42 versions of a bunch of their songs, like Weezer, Ghost, like a bunch of people.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they're going to do maybe one of those.
One of those tribute type albums.
Yeah.
Also, I think
Tenacious D, you know.
Look, I predict this. I'm going to say it right now. I predict we're going to get Ozzy duets where they just take his original vocal from a song and then here we go. Dolly Parton mm-hmm. singing with Ozzy or, you know, James mm-hmm. Hetfield and Ozzy. I just
Kelly Osbourne records Daddy, I'm Coming Home.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I just feel like we're going to get an Ozzy duets.
Yeah,
people just are singing with his original. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. All right, this next song is from Osmosis. This is the first tour I saw him on, 1995. Pilar and I had just started a date, and she bought me two tickets to see Ozzy. She did not go, but
that was the gift to herself.
She bought me a heart shaped box of candy, and then underneath the candy were the two tickets. Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Korn opened. And I didn't see a second of them. That was just garbage noise to me. I just looked at merch. I was like, I don't even want to sit in there for this. Ozzy came out, immediately dumped a bucket of water on himself. And then he had to cancel some shows because he was sick. To which I said to my friend, maybe if you didn't come out and dump a bucket of water on yourself, yeah, that wouldn't happen. This song is written with Ozzy Osbourne and Jim Vallance, who co-wrote with Bryan Adams all the big Bryan Adams hits. Mm-hmm. So Ozzy knows how to pick someone that he wants to write a song with. And this song is I Just Want You. Do you know this song?
Yes.
I love it. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I used to go to bed so high. Now, I know it's weird that I jumped into that part of the song where we didn't even hear the chorus or anything, but I always like that. What's that part of the song? The bridge?
Yeah.
I always like that bridge with I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Yeah. I just love it so much. So that's why I went with that. But seek that song out because it's a pretty great one. All right. Oh, this is a great song that you picked. This is just so,
yeah,
it's so good. I just love it.
So the story, this is Miracle Man from Ain't No Rest for the Wicked, and this is written about Jimmy Swaggart, who was a televangelist who mm-hmm. got caught, paying sex workers despite denouncing everyone. This seems to be
the way of most Christians. This is how it happens. They're either pedophiles or they've got 10 wives or illegitimate children, but then they stand on, you know, in front of a cross and tell you that they're the most righteous person.
It's a business. They're in it for the money
business.
And the power.
It's a fucking business.
But he was very critical of Ozzy's quote, depraved approach to rock and roll. So, when he got in trouble,
mm-hmm.
Ozzy was like, I'm going to make fun of him. So the whole video is him like in a church. There are pigs around. He has a mask of the guy crying because the guy cried on TV.
Yeah,
was like,
oh, boo-hoo.
Forgive me, whatever.
You big fucking pussy.
But another interesting thing is that Jimmy Swaggart's cousin, I believe,
ooh,
was Jerry Lee Lewis.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and that guy also lived quite a life.
Just the different side of the coin, but kind of the same.
I know.
So yeah, this is Miracle Man, and this song's great.
Miracle Man is really good. And now this is the debut of Zakk Wylde on guitar in this album.
Yes.
And this album's co-produced by Keith Olsen and Roy Thomas Baker, but they didn't, I think some songs Keith produced and some songs Roy produced. I don't know who produced this one, but here we go. Listen to that when Zach does that. Well,
I love the robotic vocals for some reason. It's just,
I know,
it's very
like it
of
too.
The time, but yeah, it fits.
But it works.
And it rocks. This is the first two Miracle Man and Devil's Daughter were produced by Keith Olsen.
Okay.
But everything else was produced by
Roy Thomas Baker
and Keith Olsen in conjunction.
Okay. So, all right. Cool. Good to know.
According to Wikipedia and no source link to that. So
I'm sticking with Osmosis. And this is the first song that I thought of when Ozzy passed.
Okay.
And this one's written by Ozzy, Lemmy, Rockin' Peace, and Zakk Wylde. And this, I love this song. This is in my, this is a top five Ozzy song for me. This is See You on the Other Side.
Yeah. Whispering,
whispering. The time has passed for choices. That's Geezer Butler on bass. So I want to say one more thing about the Osmosis album and tour, because when we went to see this tour, the musicians on the album are Ozzy, Geezer Butler on bass, Zakk Wylde on guitar, and Dean Castronova from Bad English on drums. And I love Dean's drumming, I love Geezer's bass playing, and I love Zakk. When we go to the show, that's not the touring band at all. It was three people that I had never heard of. Now, maybe if I went back to look and see who they were now, I would know of them now.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was just like, well, that's, I thought we were going to be seeing the album, the band that was on the album. And Zakk wasn't even touring with the Osmosis album.
Yeah, that's weird.
I was really fucking bummed about that. You know, that was a bummer.
Yeah.
So anyway, that happened. All right.
Is that kind of the formula then that would go forward? Because I never saw them live. So it was like, was it always kind of like a hired gun band after a certain point? And it was
whoever the guitarist was then with him for a couple tours before Zakk came back. I forget who the drummer was. It might have been this Tommy Clufiotis I can't say his name. I don't really like his drumming that much. I don't know who the bass player was. It was just, there were three guys I didn't know who they were. I had no idea.
Now, one year in high school, all of the cheerleaders got Tommy Clufiotis.
See, I would have picked this one. Your next three, I would have picked.
Oh, really?
I would have picked these, but you already did, which was good, because then it freed me up.
Yeah, so this is from Mom, I'm Coming Home. I finally kind of almost caught up to the time period that you're in.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's how it happens.
But yeah, this is from No More Tears. It's Mom, I'm Coming Home.
And it's written by Ozzy, Zakk, and Lemmy again.
Yeah.
Lemmy co-writes, I think, four songs on this album, and they're great songs. Like, you wouldn't think that Lemmy and Ozzy would write a song like this.
Yeah, and I think it's weird because they are contemporaries, but I think both of them kind of looked up to each other.
Yeah. I feel like I need to get into Motorhead because I don't know anything about Motorhead.
I really only know Ace of Spades.
I bet we would love it.
Yeah.
We can't see them, though, in concert anymore, but I bet we would love it.
Yeah.
I need to do it. If anyone has some recs for me, yeah, that's right. You can tell me where to start with the Motorhead. Okay, here we go. Love it so much. Did you give the title? Yeah,
Mama, I'm Coming Home.
Mama, comma, Mama, comma, I'm coming home. It's songs like this to where I think No More Tears is his Sgt. Pepper's album.
This says it wasn't written by Kilmeister. Let me. It was Zach Wild, Ozzy, Mike Inez, Randy Castillo, and John Purdell.
And where are you reading that?
It's on Wikipedia.
Really? Because yeah. I think I took my
I'm not saying it's correct.
My metadata for my iTunes, I always take it right from the album itself.
Okay. Well, then I would trust that more than this.
So that's what I'm...
I just didn't want someone to be like, nah, that's not right.
That's not right. Let me didn't write that. That. All right, let me see who wrote this one. I'm going on. Now, look, Osmosis was the album that came after.
He did write this. I was on No More Tears. I'm sorry. I was, yes.
Come on, man. Why are you doing this to me? So, Osmosis is the album that followed No More Tears. And I didn't like it as much as No More Tears. I've since come around to liking it a lot, but there were like four or five killers on here, including the one that closes out the album, which is my next song. So I'm three deep into Osmosis right now, but this one is called Old LA Tonight. And I kind of like this song now that I don't live in LA anymore. And I still miss many things about LA, all the friends, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Traffic.
Love traffic. No, it's so funny. Like I can make a list of things I do not miss and then things that I miss. And it would probably be like a 50-50 list. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was cool to live in LA. It was cool to say like that you lived in LA. Like when I lived in Chicago, I was like, and I actually lived in the city for a time when I lived in Chicago. So like people would be like, where do you live in Chicago?
I live in the Bean.
So like you live in Brooklyn. You know, it has a different ring to it than when you say like, you know, name a place. Altoona.
Wichita.
Yeah. You live in Wichita? No fucking way.
Oh, big city boy in Wichita.
I've heard good things. All right. This is Old LA Tonight. This closes out the album.
Wichita is actually the 10th most populated city.
Look into my eyes and tell me everything's alright. Tell me where.
Great piano on this.
Yeah.
I'm so afraid because I don't know what's going on with my life.
You know, and L.A. was Ozzy's home for years and years. Mm-hmm. That's when they did the reality series. A great reality series. Yeah, the Osbournes.
An actual real reality show.
Actually, an actual real reality show. I mean, when you would watch that thing, you're like, they didn't stage any of this.
Well, and sometimes the audio is really shitty because they are not, like, one person's mic'd, but, like, Jack might not be. So they're boosting Kelly's audio so you can hear Jack yelling at, like... We just started rewatching it, and if you want a great clip, just type in on YouTube, Ozzy tries a Listerine strip, and it's great. Sharon tells him it's gum, which it's not, and he's confused.
And they would go to like 0 to 100 on anger about just, and Ozzy just wants, there's so many scenes where Ozzy's just in their kitchen with his colored pencils, and he just likes to color like
it things. Must be relaxing to him, like he can turn his brain off and not do anything. But then everyone comes up and is like, Jack's being mean to me, or this is like, you know, the dogs are shitting in the house, and he's like, what do you want me to do?
I know,
like he's just yelling.
Like he's made all the money. He doesn't want to clean up shit. I just want to sit here with my colored pencils and color.
Yeah.
Let me alone.
And I think looking back at kind of him, I think everyone kind of thought, oh, the shaking for him is the drug use, but I think that might have been the early onset of Parkinson's.
Yeah, because he always shook.
Yeah.
He was always shaking a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, you know.
So it is sad to watch, but it is fun. Like, there's like one where they're on like the Tonight Show or something, and like in focus is Sharon talking to someone.
Yeah.
And then they just slowly pan over because he's in the background, like in another room, going to sit in a chair, and he sits in like a director's chair, but it immediately falls over
backwards.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and you like, don't.
It's not scripted. He's just like, he just gets in it incorrectly.
Yeah. Like no one said Ozzy in this scene. Like, watch some episodes of The Osbourne and then watch that Gene Simmons clusterfuck of
where they give them a cake that's not in a box, a thing that and no place would ever
do. No one ever gives you a cake not in a box, and then you know what's going to happen. It's fucking bullshit. Or when the thing I hate about that Family Jewels, and it's my fucking stupid title, shut up, is when they'll be outside of a door. And then when they walk in the door, there's already a camera set up in the, like they're unlocking the door to their house. And when they walk in, there's already a camera in there.
Yeah.
It's not a movie. Like it should be one camera. It follows you into the house and then it has to get into position to film. You know what I mean?
Yes. And in the Osbournes, they do a neat thing because they don't blur a whole lot. There's a lot of stuff in their house.
Yeah.
But they don't blur a whole lot. So they obviously had some clearance. But when they're showing someone who clearly didn't sign the rights, they just shoot that person from behind their shoulder, which is kind of genius. Because then you don't have a bunch of blurred faces around.
Yeah, it's just, The Osbournes is real good.
Yeah.
I mean, we never missed it. We were just like, the first time we watched it, we were like,
on Amazon Prime right now, streaming.
Yeah, the first time we saw it, I was just like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. This is hysterical. Like, everyone was talking about it.
Yeah.
It's really something that really brought Ozzy into the mainstream, as a family man.
I think it ended up being like, you know, kind of reviving his
credibility.
Or
career.
Yeah, I think he, in one of the early episodes, he's actually mad that he's like, all I'm known for is biting the head off a fucking bat.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, but this kind of changed your perception.
Yeah. And I love that the oldest child, Amy, she didn't want to be a part of it.
And so they didn't make her.
They don't, you'll hear them mention her, but she's not in it.
Yeah.
And that's so cool because she just didn't want that. And good for her.
And she's not, I think they're all like, all the kids are like 1 year apart.
Yeah. She's the oldest, I think, right? And she's just like, I don't want to do this, guys.
And they're like, okay.
Good for her.
Yeah.
That way she's not like the fucking three Stallone idiots. His three daughters are interchangeable. Like, you don't even know who's one from the other.
Yeah. He's Rambo and they're Bimbo.
All right. Your next song. This is such a fucking great song. And it's, we've now played four songs from Osmosis.
Yeah. This is from Osmosis. This leads off the album. I don't know why in 1995 he thought, hey, this is something everyone likes and is accessible, but it's a great song. It's called Perry Mason.
It's called Perry Mason.
He's just like, I just want to write a song about Perry Mason.
I love this song so much. Everything about it. It's heavy. I don't even mind the lyrics. I like everything about it.
Yeah. When you need, was it like,
who can we get on the case? We need Perry Mason.
Yeah.
I mean, he could be singing about Inspector Gadget for all I care. Yeah. It's a great song. Here we go.
Here we go.
Someone to put you
is that lyric, all the kids, they love him so?
Yeah.
What kids love Perry Mason?
You know, the kids, they love Perry Mason.
They love it.
I've never watched that Matthew Reese version of it. Have you?
No, that's a period piece too, right?
Probably.
Yeah. So between Osmosis, there wasn't a new studio album of original material for 6 years. And it happened in 2001 with Down to Earth.
Yeah, and a lot of the first few episodes of, because I guess when it was filmed, of the Osbournes are him doing press for Down to Earth and prepping for the tour for that. So that's why he's on Jay Leno.
Yeah, so I feel like he had like a nice period of just time off little bit. Maybe he was touring still. I don't know.
Well, also, you figured the kids were probably like 6 to 12.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, 6 to 15 or whatever it would be.
So maybe daddy was being daddy.
Yeah.
So Down to Earth, it's another cool album cover.
Yeah, I like it. It's the only weird thing to me is like it's an x-ray, but then the face is weird because it's almost like it's turning back and forth, which isn't how an x-ray works. So.
No. And then it just, I don't think it has the title of the album on it. It just says Ozzy. I think the title was on the spine.
Oh, okay.
The clear inlay on a CD jewel case said Down to Earth.
I thought you were going to say it had like a slip case or something.
This has a handful of good songs on it, but for me, it's not a great Ozzy album. But, but I picked the first single, which is really good. And this is It Gets Me Through. It's a great line to start. Almost just tipped this chair over like Ozzy. I did. I leaned a little bit too much over. What do you think of that song?
No, I like that song.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I also think that kind of tracks with like what he was saying about being, not wanting to be known for biting the head. Like, you know, I'm not the Antichrist and I'm not the Iron Man.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah. All right. So I want to talk a little bit about this album that you're going to play a song from. This is from 2007's Black Rain.
Yes.
So Black Rain came out. And it was just like in a cardboard sleeve. And it just had like the Ozzy Osbourne logo on it. And when you bought that one, you could enter to win tickets to Ozfest. Okay, so I bought that version, even though the legit album cover that comes out later with the rain falling and like burning his hand, it's a great album cover. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I entered to win Ozfest tickets. Like you say, what city is closest to you and blah, blah, blah. And you don't think you're going to win those.
Yeah.
And I won them. Mm-hmm. I got 2 Ozfest tickets. So Schmitty and I went. And
that's your scene. That's your jam, right? Ozfest?
No. Because I told him, I think he wanted to go for the whole day. And
Did you go to the Snickers stage?
And I think I just used the kids at the time. I'm like, Mike, I go, because Ezra was 7 and Rita would have been 3. I go, I can't go to Ozfest all day. Mm-hmm. I go, let's just get there to see whoever maybe is before Ozzy, who I don't even know, you would have to look up what the lineup was in the 2007 Ozfest. So we got there in time to see Ozfest, and it's a fucking mess already. Everyone's fucking drunk. We go to use the restroom. It's flooded. The men's room's flooded. Like, and people are still in their bare feet walking in to go to just nauseating, just gross. And then we get in our seats. We're about 20 rows back. And when Ozzy comes out, the first thing he does, he has like a shaving cream cannon. And he just starts the first rows. And we just missed it by like 4 rows. Because thank God, I don't want to drive now 2.5 hours back to L.A.
Was this in San Bernardino?
Cream. Yes. Yes.
At the Hyundai Pavilion.
At the Hyundai Pavilion, yeah.
All right. So here was your lineup. I looked it up.
Are you going to go from Ozzy backward?
Yeah.
Okay, don't name everyone.
So, no. The main stage was Ozzy.
Yay.
Lamb of God.
Nope.
Static X.
No.
And I've never heard of these two, Lordy and Black Tide. Oh, Black Tide was later.
No, thanks.
Thing. The second stage was Hatebreed.
Mm-mm.
I don't like Hatebreed.
Wait, the first thing we saw was a guy that had a t-shirt on, and the front of the t-shirt said, "Fuck you, I love Hatebreed," or something like that. I'm like, all right.
Behemoth.
Yeah, there's not one band on this lineup
Nick
that I like.
Nick Oliveri and the Mondo Generator.
Seriously, there's not one other band that I would enjoy, right?
No.
There's no one on that.
Nile.
There were other years when it would be like...
3 inches of blood.
There were other years to where the top two bands would be like Priest and then Ozzy, yeah, or Maiden and then Ozzy.
Circus Diablo.
No, fuck all this. Fuck all this. And Mike Schmitty, let's go. It'll be an event. I'm like, by the time Ozzy plays, I'm going to be exhausted.
So 2008 has a way better lineup.
How many years ago is 2007? How long ago? That's
almost 20 years. So it's
18 years ago. So I'm 43, mm-hmm, and I don't want to be there.
Yeah. 2008 would have been a better year to go because it was Metallica.
Oh my God.
Ozzy. Serge Tankian, who's from System of a Down.
Okay.
He had a solo album that year.
All right.
Hell Yeah, which is like a super group of Pantera people and all some right stuff. Jonathan Davis, he's from Korn. You don't care about that.
No.
There's an all-star Dimebag Darrell tribute. Okay. I don't know what that means.
This is stuff I've heard of.
Yeah. But come on.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
I kind of think they might start bring back Ozfest as like a branded thing.
Oh, Sharon's going to do whatever she can do to milk the Oz name.
And then you'll have... Hey, there's going to be an Ozzy tribute, you know, the first Max 2 years.
Max Sabbath.
Max Sabbath. I've seen Max Sabbath.
And they sing Black Sabbath songs, but with different lyrics.
Yeah. They about, like, instead of Iron Man, they sing Frying Pan.
I watched a clip the other day of Ozzy seeing them for the first time, and he just loved it.
He's like, what is this?
All right. This next song you're going to play. This is a top Ozzy song for me, too. Like, when I heard this, I thought that this Black Rain album was going to be stellar.
I think every single time, because I like this song, I'm like, oh, Black Rain is good. And then I listen to it. And like we said, it's not great.
It's not great.
But
this song
rocks.
Is so killer. And what's it called?
It's called I Don't Want to Stop. And it's kind of a little prophetic.
Yeah, it's a great tune. But nobody's talking. It looks a lot better for me. So heavy.
Yeah. That's about his family.
His voice is strong, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a treadmill tune for sure. That's a song for the gym. I mean, without a doubt. So fucking good. Wow. All right. Let me see where we're at here. I feel like...
I have one more left.
Yeah, I have... So I'm going to play one, then you play one, then I play my last one, and then the play out.
Okay.
So you have one more left, but I have three, but we're on track. Okay, I stuck with Down to Earth because I love this song, Dreamer.
Yeah.
And it's just a softer Ozzy, but the lyrics are great. It's it doesn't feel cheesy to me ever.
I read where he kind of viewed this as his, because he's a big Beatles fan, but he viewed this as his, like, kind of Imagine.
Yeah.
Which I can see that.
And now he co-wrote this with Mick Jones of Foreigner, mm-hmm, and Marty Fredriksson, who's worked with so many people, including Gary Smith.
He works with a lot of people that you wouldn't expect.
Right. True. So this is Dreamer. From Ozzy Osbourne. This is my bills.
Gazing through the window at the world outside, wondering will Mother Earth survive?
Fucking woke.
Hoping that mankind
will stop abusing her sometime. After all, there's only just the two of us, and here we are still fighting for our lives, watching all of history repeat itself time after time.
And I love that he says time after time in there.
Yes.
And he kind of enunciates it so to highlight it. All right, the softer side of Ozzy gets to me in these later albums. And again, all these later albums that we're featuring, not that, and we didn't pick anything from the most recent two because those didn't really gel with me. I might go give them another listen though now. But all these later albums from Ozzy, like from, you know, 91 to, you know, 2010, there's some great songs in there. Like there's there's like four killer tracks on every one of those albums that resonate with me. Someone else might go, oh, I love that whole album.
Yeah.
But there's definitely, I mean, I can make a CD mix that would killer.
Black Sabbath 13 and then his two most recent solo albums are kind of the same ilk of like, these, they feel like kind of leftovers that were just cleaned up and put on, hey, let's get an album out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel like he sat down and was like, and maybe that's not true, but it doesn't feel like he sat down and was like, this is what I want to do. It's like, feels like, what haven't we used?
Right, exactly. I agree with you. I'm going to tease a little bit since we're recording live today in the studio. I guess I can say that now, right? In the studio. Steve O'Dockerson, Hob the Troll, he's going to be passing through in August, so him and I are definitely going to record one or two episodes. Kevin Hartbarger is going to be coming through because his mom lives in North Carolina. So anyone who's coming through the area, let me know. Like if you're, hey, we're driving to Myrtle Beach. Great. Get a topic going. Pick the songs. Your family can go have lunch and you can sit in this room with me for 90 minutes.
But you do not get something. Lunch.
I do not. No, you don't get, you sit your ass down and you fucking talk in that mic.
Or your family could sit on that couch there and be bored.
Yeah. Look, I know there's people that live down south here. Look, Tony Greathouse is in Alabama. Tony, if you're in this area, you come here, you record with me. So, I mean, this is how we're going to have to get people in the studio.
Tony has a great house.
It's okay. I mean, I've seen pictures of it. It's fine. It's good. So yeah, that's how we're going to do it. And, you know, Pilar will sit in and we'll record the next Patreon episode this way instead of at the kitchen table. And because, look, Rockstar Guests ended with, what are you looking at?
I'm trying to see if it's still, yeah, it's still recording. It is. Okay.
Rockstar Guests in studio ended with COVID. And now everything's Zoom, which is good and bad. I don't get to meet the people and have them sign stuff to give away. But it opened up a world of me interviewing someone like Klaus Meine from Scorpions, who's in Germany, you know, or Brian Johnson, who was in Florida. It opened up that window. Mm-hmm. So, and that's just how it is. And no one seems to care about that. They're like, oh, Pat has this guy on. Mm-hmm. Pat just interviewed Dave Davies. That's amazing. But yeah, those people, and because we don't live in LA now, we don't have access to the people that live in LA.
Mm-hmm.
So to record live, it's going to be whoever comes and visits, Dave Schneier and Dave Festini. Now's the time, guys. Drive down here. We're going to record some Versus episodes live and in person. I've never even met these two guys in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I've recorded over 25 episodes easily with Dave Festini.
They're playing the long game to murder you.
And then they're just going to pillage this whole room. Dave Festini already told me he's going to steal my Foreigner 4 signed by.
Is that why you put it real? Is he tall?
He is tall.
He doesn't need
a ladder.
So you need to put it on the ground then.
Yeah. So when he bends over, he hurts his back.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I need to do. All right. Your last song from the album Scream 2010.
Yeah. This is a good, This is an okay album.
What's this album cover look like?
He's holding a flag and pointing.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
It's cool. This is the one I have autographed.
Yeah.
Because on Father's Day in 2010, Father's Day at Amoeba Records, Ozzy was there to sign the CD. That's the only thing he would sign. And then you got a ticket to go see him that night at the House of Blues. And I think he did 12 songs that night. That was the best I had ever seen him. It was better than Osmosis. It was better than Ozfest.
Because it was smaller and there was not, like, I feel like they always tried to inject, they felt the need to be like, we need a bunch of bullshit on stage instead of just being like, hey, just let Ozzy stand there and sing or sit there and sing or whatever.
Yeah. And if you would do me a favor while I play the, you introduce the song and then look up the set list from 2010 House of Blues.
Okay. This is Life Won't Wait, which again, kind of prophetic, made me a little sad when I was listening to this.
Yeah. This is a good tune. Ozzy can punch you in the heart and in the face. Sounds like something Jack Black has said. Find that set list?
Yeah.
It's a good one, right?
It is. Bark at the Moon.
Yes. Great opener.
Then Let Me Hear You Scream. New song. New.
It's my next song I'm going to play.
Yeah. It's a single.
It's the single. Yeah. So you got to play it.
Mr. Crowley.
Great.
I Don't Know.
Great.
We heard it. Great. Black Sabbath's Fairies Wear Boots. I don't know. I don't
like,
I think
that
that's
song.
On the.
I don't like that song.
That's when you went to the bathroom. And then Suicide Solution.
All right.
Then Shot in the Dark.
Great.
Then Iron Man.
Yep.
Crazy Train.
Yes.
Then the encore was I Don't Want to Change the World.
Great.
And then ended with Paranoid. So 11 songs.
Great.
And
look.
11 songs that are mostly all great.
And he covers all, he gives you, that set list has something for everyone who's there. And yes, we're going to leave and we're going to say he didn't do this, he didn't do this, he didn't do this, he didn't do this. But that covers it.
But also, that just shows you how many songs he does have that are good or that people want to hear.
Yeah, because, I mean, he didn't do Mama, I'm Coming Home on that set list.
He didn't do No More Tears. Yeah, he only...
No More, yeah.
He did 4 songs from Blizzard of Oz.
Okay.
3 Sabbath songs.
Yeah.
That are all killer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 1 from Bark at the Moon, 1 from No More Tears, 1 from the album he's promoting.
Yeah.
Just 1. You know,
yeah,
some people would play 5.
Yeah, that's good.
And 1 from The Ultimate Sin.
And again, it was everyone that was there was in because for free because they bought. That was a free promo concert for people that bought the CD. And let me tell you, on Father's Day, there was a ton of fucking people at Amoeba that day.
I find Mother's Day, it's like you want to do something with the mother, and Father's Day, it's like
yeah, just leave go Dad do alone. Your own thing. Let him do his own thing. Let him go and color with his pencils. All right.
Daddy's Day.
Now, I don't think this is like a top tier Ozzy song, and yet I really love it because
it's a fun song.
It's a fun song, and it's like it's almost like Sharon said, "Daddy, you need to write a song that they can play at the sports."
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this is, you know? Go big, go loud, go home, all that bullshit.
Yeah, when you're out at a sporting event having an affair and they play this for the cam while panning around.
Here we go. It's called Let Me Hear You Scream.
Let's hear it for your 2025 Yellow Jackets. We got to pump up that noise in the stadium. Well, they're wiping off a second base.
And if you've seen Ozzy live, he says about 100 times, I can't fucking hear you. So he wants you to be screaming. Without a doubt, he likes the screaming.
And in reality, he can't.
Yeah, he couldn't fucking hear us. Every time. All right. We're going to do some promoting here, tell you where you can follow us. But I'm looking over at the prize corner right now. I've got, and I'm saying this for the people who have not yet come to me on the Patreon page. I put videos up there. I post my album of the day there. I'm going to start doing more just mini episodes just for the Patreon people. I'm going to tell you behind the scenes stuff. I might tell you a story about one of the albums that's hanging up here. I might let you know the Elliot Easton dinner story, and I might let you know the Gary Lucy, who shall not be named, leaving story. I'll tell you all that stuff, and you're only going to hear that if you're a Patreon supporter. Prize closet right now. I have two copies of Mike Campbell, his autobiography. I have a copy of Kenny Loggins' autobiography. I have Fahrenheit 182, three copies of Mark Hoppus's autobiography. I just got a book in the mail yesterday that doesn't come out till September. I have three copies of this thing. It's fucking killer. Iron Maiden at 50. If you win that book, if you come on and you support the show for $2 a month, that's 24 bucks a year. It's going to come out of your account. You're not even going to miss fucking $2.
Also, I got to be honest, a lot of the Patreon Patreon pages I follow,
yeah,
it's like a dollar just to support and then $5 if you want any of this stuff.
Yeah, I've got this $2 tier, which is...
That's a deal.
That's a fucking deal. And I'm working the page. I do stuff. I know people that just like, I started a Patreon page, all these people promote, and I don't do a thing with it.
Yeah.
So I got three copies of that Iron Maiden book.
And there's some nice pictures in that. Like, there are pictures I don't think I've seen prior to being in there. Like, yeah. Well, close-ups the Iron Maiden book. Stage. And, yeah.
I got two copies of this is timely because Oasis is on a reunion tour. I got two copies of this, A Sound So Very Loud. It's an Oasis book where they cover every single song. I've got Chips and Nuffs coming on. I got two CD copies of the new album, Extra Cherries. I still have two copies of Black Country Communion 5. I have a copy of Smithereens 11. And I've got stuff coming in all the time. I give vinyl away, you know, so anyway.
Did you say about that White Spine book, or are you not saying that yet?
The Mark Hoppus?
Yeah, did you say that already?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And I love the title, Fahrenheit 182. So, patreon.com/rocksolidpodcast. I swear to God, if everyone listening right now would go and just sign up for $2.
You get four more dollars.
That would blow my mind. Just try it for a year for $24. What do you drop $24 on a weekly basis that's shit? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I'm saying. And I do take the money and I put it back into the show because I'll buy prizes. Like when a couple weeks ago, I gave a bunch of vinyl away and I bought that stuff. So yeah. I do put some of the money back in the show. And when this fucking board fries, folks, or this computer goes, there's going to be some nonsense happening. So anyway, also follow us on Instagram for free at Rock Solid Show or Blue Sky at Rock Solid Podcast. And we're on Facebook too. You can like us there and see what's over there. So anyway, Kyle, where can we follow you on the webs?
On everything at Kyle Dotson Funny. Yeah.
All right. And that's misleading.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, cool. And everything's good with New York and your job?
Yeah.
I understand you have a new roommate.
Yes.
I mean, you live with your wife still.
Yes.
And you have Dahlia.
Yes, a dog.
That's a girl.
Yes.
But I always say he.
Yes.
And Lugosi, a cat.
Yes.
That's a girl.
Yes.
And then your roommate's Rita, and that's yes. a girl.
Yes.
Yeah, Rita has... Going to school, and your longtime roommate that lived with you and your wife moved out, which Rita moved in, and I'm so happy about that.
We're 36. We have to have roommates because everyone else ruined the economy 40 years ago. So thanks, boomers. And
we'd rather give you the rent than anyone else. So, all right, Kyle, thanks for coming here this week and helping me get the rock room in order. And thanks for recording two episodes with me.
Yeah, this has been great.
And I had a fun weekend. I hope you did too.
I did. Thank
and
you.
Now, and how are you getting home to, back today? Are you flying or are you taking a crazy train?
I'm taking a crazy plane.
Crazy plane? Well, here comes crazy train.
How is that not their tour train or their tour plane? Like crazy plane?
Maybe
they fly all over.
Maybe it was. All right. I'm turning up the music. It appears that this episode recorded, and we kept it at 1 hour and 20 minutes. Beautiful.
Nice.
It's not a Mike Schmidt episode, 4 hours. Dude, the podcast could be anything. All right, Mike. Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks.
Crazy train.